السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How's everyone doing? Okay, let's begin. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما.
سورة الانشقاق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
إذا السماء انشقت وأذنت لربها وحقت وإذا الأرض مدت وألقت ما فيها وتخلت وأذنت لربها وحقت يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه. فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا وينقلب إلى أهله مسرورا. وأما من أوتي كتابه وراء ظهره فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا. إنه كان في أهله مسرورا. إنه ظن أن لن يحور. بلى إن ربه كان به بصيرا. فلا أقسم بالشفق والليل وما وسق والقمر إذا اتسق لتركبن طبقا عن طبق. فما لهم لا يؤمنون. وإذا قرئ عليهم القرآن لا يسجدون. بل الذين كفروا يكذبون والله أعلم بما يوعون. فبشرهم
Surah Al-Inshiqaq. The surah is a Makki surah. And the name of the surah is Al-Inshiqaq, which means to split open. Earlier, we studied Surah Al-Infitar. إِلَى السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. The word انْفَطَرَتْ, انْفِطَار, means to crack as well, to split open. However, it is to crack lengthwise. And as for انْشِقَاق, انشقاق is when something is torn off completely such that it is irreversible. Or to tear something that is generally not torn. Generally, it's not split. For example, in the Quran, the word has been used for the moon, the splitting of the moon. Allah says, وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرِ. And the moon was split. Then this word has also been used for the splitting of the earth. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا. Because generally, splitting or breaking is of something that is soft. انشقاق, however, is to split or break something that is hard, that is solid. And when it does break, it breaks into many pieces, two or more pieces. And here in this surah, Allah speaks about the splitting of the sky, the breaking of the sky. Surah Al-Inshiqaq mentions the scene of the Day of Judgment. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever wishes to look at the Day of Judgment as if he is seeing it with his own eyes, then let him recite إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ Surah Al-Takwir and إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ Surah Al-Infitar and إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْشَقَّتْ Surah Al-Inshiqaq. So this surah as well mentions the Day of Judgment. It explicitly talks about that day and it begins with the mention of the sky. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We begin in the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the Always All Merciful. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. When the sky has split open. The sky is the biggest creation that we see. Of all the creation that we witness and see in front of us, the sky is the biggest. It is bigger than the earth. But what will become of the sky? What will be the state of the sky? When the day of judgment comes, then this huge creation will rend asunder. This huge creation will burst, break apart. It will not remain firm in its place. Now we understand the crumbling of mountains, the shaking of the earth, the collapsing of buildings, but even the sky will not be spared. The sky will crack, split open, burst, erupt, and this indicates the same point that we have been discussing in the previous surahs, that a huge change is going to take place in the universe. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. And it begins with the sky, when the sky has split open. In Surah An-Naba, we read, وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ, and the sky will be opened. فَكَانَتْ أَبَوَابًا, and it will become gateways. Similarly, Surah Al-Furqan, ayah number 25, Allah says, وَيَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ, and mention the day when the heaven will split open with emerging clouds. وَنُزِّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِيلًا, and the angels will be sent down in successive descent. And here Allah says, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ, when the sky has split. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا, and it has responded to its Lord. The sky listened to its Lord, and it obeyed the command to erupt. It obeyed the command to burst, to break apart. When the word adinat is followed by li, wa adinat li rabbiha, then it means to listen attentively. To listen very carefully in order to carry out the instruction that is given. And only that person listens carefully who wants to take action, who wants to act upon what is being said, upon the instruction. For example, when someone sends you a message, whether it is a voice message or a recorded message, and it is something of interest to you, it is something that you have to do, how would you listen to the message? Very attentively. Even if the volume is very low, you bring the device close to your ears, so that you can listen carefully, attentively, you pay attention to it, because it is something that you have to do. You have to act upon it. But that which is of no interest to us, what we have no intention to act upon, then it's just hearing sounds. So there's a difference in both kinds of listening. Here Allah says, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا. The sky listened to its Lord. Not just yes, yes, and listening, but it was actually paying attention. Paying attention, carefully listening. Now the sky is so huge, it's so vast, endless. Wherever we go on this earth, the sky is above us. Yet despite this, it is so humble. It is listening to Allah, and whatever command it is given, it does it. But what is the matter with the human being? فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. The sky is so huge, yet so humble. And we're not even a speck compared to the sky, yet so arrogant. The sky is so big, yet so obedient. We're so small, yet so ungrateful. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودِ. So here Allah tells us about the sky. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. When the sky has split open. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا. And it has responded to its Lord. وَحُقَّتْ. And it was obligated to do so. It was haq for the sky to do this. It is correct for it to obey, because it is the command of Allah. It should obey Allah as it should, because this is the duty of the sky. Its duty is to heed and obey. This is what is right for the sky to do. This is what befits the sky. وَحُقَّتْ. Basically, we're being told here to have conviction, to not have any doubts that this is going to happen. The sky will listen to Allah, and it will split open. Now just think about it. If the ceiling begins to crack, the roof begins to collapse, what would be the state of terror, panic, fear? Would a person be able to sleep? So the mention of the sky splitting and breaking apart is to move us to do action, to do something, to prepare for that day. And then after mentioning the sky, Allah then mentions the earth. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. And when the earth has been extended. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. And it has cast out that within it and relinquished it. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ and when the earth has been stretched out. The word مُدَّتْ is from mud, and mud means to stretch something across its length, to spread it lengthwise and then smoothen it. So the width of the earth is increased. The earth will be increased in its vastness. Why will this be done? So that no edifice, no mountain, no valley, no elevation, no depression remains on the surface of the earth. So that the earth becomes a flat plain ground for the purposes of hashr, the gathering, accountability. Because all the people, from the first of them to the last of them, the awwaleen and the akhireen, have to be gathered there. So everyone will come forth from the earth onto the plain of hashr, and so the earth would be stretched out. It would be flattened, it would be expanded. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. From this we also learn that the earth right now is not flat. Okay? The earth right now is not flat, it is curved. However, on the Day of Judgment, it will be straightened. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا, and it has cast out that within it. So all that is in the earth of the dead, the people, animals, and whatever else is inside of the earth of treasures, gold and silver, everything will be cast onto the surface of the earth. So as the earth is stretched out, everything inside of it will come forth. وَتَخَلَّتْ, and relinquished it. The word تَخَلَّتْ, تَخَلِّي, means to empty out fully and completely. So the earth will throw out everything forcefully and completely. Nothing will remain inside of the earth. It will cast out everything. It will deliver everything and not keep anything inside of it. And at that time, when the earth throws out everything, including gold and silver, gems and jewels, all the treasures of the earth, no person will take anything of it. As a matter of fact, the human being will regret for having perpetrated sins, for having committed crimes, simply out of desire of these worthless things. Because these things will have no value on that day. But what is the state of man today? He's running after these very things, holding on to them, collecting them, amassing them, never parting from them. If you look at our own houses, what is the state of our homes? We have filled our houses with stuff. Stuff that we do not even need. Stuff, whether we use it or not, we have collected. But have we ever thought, after we're gone, what would happen to all of this stuff? All these things that we're collecting now, what do you think would happen to it after we have left the dunya? You know, our own heirs, they were probably just discarded. Throw it away. Why is this? Because times would have changed. Fashion would be different. Trends would not be the same. New crockery, new furniture, new gadgets. So our children even will not value the things that we valued, that we held on to so dearly. And then even otherwise, on the Day of Judgment, they will have no value, no worth. وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ أُطِّلَتْ. The pregnant she-camels will be left neglected on that day. Something that is so precious. So precious, so noble, so valuable to the Arabs, they will neglect it. So think about anything else that a person holds on to in the life of this world. What will be the worth of it on that day? Isn't it better then that we give something with our own hands from the things that we love in the way of Allah as sadaqah? Because sadaqah is a means of reward. Sadaqah is a means of cooling Allah's anger. Sadaqah is a means of relieving you of distress, sorrow, grief, anxiety. And then giving sadaqah, giving in charity, also includes a person among the abrar. Do you remember we read about the abrar in the previous surah? If a person wants to be among the abrar, then what should he do? Spend from what he has. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Never shall you attain al-birr. Never shall you attain piety until you spend from that which you love. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And whatever you spend, whatever you give in the cause of Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah is knowing of it. Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 92. So we should give something in the way of Allah from the things that we love, not just with respect to value, but also with respect to emotional attachment. You know, some things are not expensive, but we're attached to them. We have a sentimental value attached to these things. It could be a wedding gift. It could be a gift that your mother gave to you. Now, how do we cherish these things? How do we hold on to these things? We put in a safe place, wrapped up, protected, guarded. We make museums out of them. But really, on the Day of Judgment, what will be the value of these museums? Have you thought? Because this is how the believer thinks. The believer thinks about the future. He's futuristic. Okay? So he thinks about the future, that these things, after I'm gone, what will happen to them? How will they benefit me? If my own children discard these things because it is of no value to them, then is it of benefit to me? And really, what is of benefit to a person? What he sends ahead during his lifetime with his own hands. Such a person is the intelligent one. So anyhow, here we see the point of these ayat is that Allah is describing the Day of Judgment. The sky will split open. It has responded to its Lord and it was obligated to do so. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ And when the earth has been extended, so the earth will be flattened, spread out, and whatever is inside of the earth will be cast out. The earth will deliver it. Throw it out. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا And it has responded to its Lord. The earth as well has listened intently, listened carefully, and it complied to the command of its Lord as if it had been waiting all that time. As if it had been waiting for the command of Allah, and as soon as the command of Allah came, it submitted, it accepted. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ And it was obligated to do so. The earth is also very huge, it's big, it's large, yet it is so obedient to Allah. But what is the matter with the human being? What are we doing? And so after this, Allah addresses the human being. Ya ayyuhal insan, O human being. Every single human being has been addressed here individually. And this includes everyone. This address includes everyone, the believer as well as the disbeliever, the righteous as well as the wicked, men as well as women, the rich as well as the poor. Every single person is being addressed here. Ya ayyuhal insan, O human being. Innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadha. Indeed, you're laboring towards your Lord with a great laboring, a great exertion. فَمُلَاقِيهِ And we'll meet it. إِنَّكَ كَادِحِ O human being, indeed you are laboring, toiling, putting in effort. The word كَادِح is from كَدْح. And كَدْح literally means a scratch. A scratch, a rash is the meaning of the word كَدْح literally. Then the word كَدَحَ is to put in a lot of effort in doing something. And while doing that thing, the person also suffers pain, loss, difficulty, hurt. So kadh is a laborsome struggle. A difficult struggle. A lot of striving. Whether it is good or bad. Whether it is rewardable or otherwise. So kadh is the one who constantly puts in effort. One who's constantly working and his efforts don't become less. His efforts do not reduce. إِنَّكَ كَادِحْ Indeed you are laboring. Indeed you're putting in a lot of effort. And whatever you gain after this effort, you are going to your Rabb. You're going to Allah. Whatever a person's qibla is in the life of this world, whatever his direction, wherever he's heading, whether he's heading towards Allah or he's heading away from Allah, at the end he will reach there and he will find Allah in front of him. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ Indeed, you're laboring towards your Lord, towards your Rabb. كَدَحًا With a great exertion. This ayah mentions a great reality. And what is this reality? That each and every person is in struggle. Each and every person is in toil, in kadh. Even the rich who apparently seem to be in comfort and ease are also in toil, in struggle. Their comfort and ease is only physical. What is the state of their hearts? In fear, worry, concern, to somehow protect their wealth, to somehow guard their wealth. So this person has all the physical blessings surrounding him, but he cannot sleep at night. On the other hand, you have a poor person who has nothing with him, but he finds any spot under a tree and he goes to sleep without any worry. So on one side you have the rich, on the other side you have this poor person. Now the rich is in one kind of struggle, and the poor person is another kind of struggle. The fact is that both are in struggle. Both are in distress. Both are in kadh. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَدْحَ. Life is the name of hardship. Life is the name of difficulty. And this is why we should not compete with one another for the life of this world, for the dunya. And if you think about it, every single person is struggling in their own way. Some struggle in one way, and others struggle in another way. The one who works hard is in difficulty, and the one who does not work hard is in a greater difficulty. For example, you're a very active person. You walk, jog, run, exercise. Now while you're exercising, your back begins to hurt. Your muscles are aching. That's hardship, right? But after some time, you feel refreshed, rejuvenated, you feel better. On the other hand, if you're just sitting around and gaining weight, isn't that hardship? That too is hardship. So whatever a person is doing or not doing, so one person is just sitting around, just thinking about this problem, thinking about that issue, that is hardship. And on the other hand, you have a person who's running around, serving the needs of people, taking care of this one, helping that one. Although he's in physical hardship, but his heart is content. The point is that every single person is in kadh. Every single person is in hardship, in difficulty, in this struggling, this laboring and toiling. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَدْحَا. This is the roadmap of your life, that you have to go through hardship and you have to go towards your Rabb. Because what does Allah say here? إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ. You are laboring towards your Lord. So you have to labor, you have to work, you have to go through this hardship, and you have to go towards Allah. Just check, in what are you facing hardship? Is it in Allah's approval, or is it in His disapproval? Is the hardship in doing something, or is the hardship in being lazy? Because there will be hardship, there will be difficulty, there will be distress. The fact is that sadness and grief befalls every single person. Just ask yourself, in what? And then remember, even if you live for 100 years, eventually you have to go back to Him. فَمُلَاقِي, and we'll meet Him. Indeed, you're laboring towards your Lord with a great exertion, and we'll meet Him. Meet who? Meet Allah. So at the end of the journey, you will meet Allah. Another way of understanding this ayah, فَمُلَاقِيهِ, will meet it. And it refers to your deeds. You will encounter your good and bad deeds. You will encounter your kadh, your striving, your struggling. On the day of resurrection, you will encounter the fruit of your efforts in front of you. You will see it. So you are laboring, you're exerting your efforts, doing good or bad, only to meet Allah for judgment, and you will also find your deeds in front of you. Your record will be spread open. وَإِذَا السُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. It will be spread out before you. Today, you're reaching one milestone after another, until eventually you will meet your Lord. You know how we say, only when this problem departs, only when this hardship comes to an end, only when this difficulty leaves me, somehow I get this job, somehow I get this degree, I get married. These are milestones, right? So we're racing after them, racing, 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 until one day this race will come to an end and we will be standing before Allah. And at that time, what will matter? Our deeds, our kadh, our striving, our struggling. Where you spent your time, where you spent your life, where you spent your efforts, Where did you spend your wealth? And you will find there what you took from here. You will only see there what you took from here. If a person did good and earned good, the result would be good. But if a person wasted his efforts, he wasted his life, and he gathered rubble for himself, what would he find in the hereafter then? The same thing. So we need to ask ourselves, what are we taking with us? فَمُلَاقِيهِ This meeting with Allah. Do we ever think that one day we have to stand before Allah? One day we will meet Allah. So what am I preparing for that meeting? For that day? You know, there are some people who believe with firm conviction in this meeting. Just the way they believe in their own existence. So the way they're convinced that they exist. Everyone is convinced about this, right? That you exist, you're there. In the same way, they have that level of conviction with regards to the meeting with Allah. And so accordingly, their actions are the most beautiful. Their dealings are the most beautiful, the best dealings. They do everything for the sake of Allah. They do everything for His countenance because they know that they will meet Him. They know that they will meet Allah. This conviction they have, this yaqeen. Like for example, when you're going to meet someone in the dunya, what is your greatest concern at that time? What should I take for them? For some people, this is a very big issue. They can't decide what to take. Just take anything beneficial. Okay, so you don't have to spend days and days thinking about what to take. The point of mentioning this is that for a party in the dunya, or a wedding, or an invitation, we're so concerned about what to take. What gift? What should I take with me? But as for the meeting with Allah, are we not concerned about taking something with us? What am I taking with me? What will I show of my deeds? What will I present? What will be in my hands? Because our hands, whether the right or the left, we will only have in our hands what we have done with our hands. Our deeds will be in our hands, and we will meet Allah with our deeds. And this is the reason why. Those who are strongly convinced, and those who strongly believe in this meeting, their actions are the most beautiful. Allah says about their salah in the Quran, their prayer. In Surah Al-Baqarah, He says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ And seek help through patience and prayer. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ And indeed it is difficult except for the humbly submissive. And who are the khashi'een? Who are those who are humbly submissive? الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ There are those who are certain that they will meet their Lord and that they will return to Him. So those who are truly convinced about this, they're certain that one day they will meet their Rabb. How is their salah? It has khushu in it. They're the khashi'een. Similarly, in Surah Al-Kahf, ayah number 110, Allah says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ So whoever would hope for the meeting with his Lord, whoever expects the meeting with his Lord, what should he do? فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا Then let him do righteous work, good deeds. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا And not associate in the worship of his Lord anyone. Not associate any partners with his Rabb. When you meet someone in the dunya, you take something with you at that moment. However, when it comes to the meeting with Allah, we have to send ahead something from now. And whatever you send ahead, whatever you give in the way of Allah, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ Whatever you send ahead for yourself of good, تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ You will find it near Allah. You have secured it. Whatever you send ahead is secured. Secured for you. It will come in the form of reward on the Day of Judgment. So the one who is convinced, the one who believes that his deeds will be presented to the King, the one who firmly believes that his deeds will be exhibited before Rabbul Alameen, before Malik al-Muluk, the King of Kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what does he do? He pours his utmost effort in deeds. He pours his utmost effort in actions. He strives his fullest effort. He strives for al-ihsan fil-amal. Write this down. Al-ihsan fil-amal. Excellence in action. That is what he strives for. The one who believes that his deeds will be presented before Allah, he strives for excellence in everything that he does. For example, when you want to feed a poor person, how do you present the food? You just place the food, let's say, in a paper bag, and you place it in front of the person. When you're feeding your own child, you put the food in a plastic plate. When you're eating yourself, you use average crockery. When a guest comes over, you use better crockery. And if it is a special guest, it's khas or khas crockery. Okay? It's all about the presentation. Who are you presenting in front of? Similarly, when you have to give a presentation in front of educated people, people of knowledge, how much do you prepare? How much effort do you put in? A lot. And if you're at home teaching your child something, you just take a piece of paper, make some sketches on it, and that's it. So there's a difference in presentation. Now, our deeds will be presented before who? Before who? Allah. And who is Allah? Rabbul Alameen. The Lord of the worlds, the Lord of everything that exists. He is the King of Kings. He is the Malik, the owner, the master, the sovereign. So what is the quality of our deeds? What is the quality of our salah? The quality of our fasting? The quality of our sadaqah, charity? The quality of our dealings with others? What is the quality of presentation of every single deed that we do? Because sometimes we may be doing a good deed, but our mood is off, we're upset. So how will that deed look in front of Allah? When that deed is presented to Allah, will it look beautiful? How is the presentation of that deed? Think about any action that you do. And this is the reason why, no matter how much you have worked hard or striven, never remind others of the favors that you have done to them. I've done so much. I go through so much for you. I did this and did that. No. Keep your striving to yourself. Don't mention it to others. Does Allah not know? Allah knows everything. Allah knows what you're doing. He knows what you're going through. He knows the effort that you're putting in. And Allah is appreciative. He appreciates the deeds of His servants and He rewards them for it. Allah knows that this servant of mine was so tired, yet he's standing up for worship. And he did not tell anyone that his feet are so sore. His body is aching. Allah knows. So the deed is beautiful near Allah, not only on the outside, but also on the inside. The apparent is beautiful, and inwardly it is also beautiful. The intentions are beautiful. The manner in which it is performed is beautiful. And then on the outside, the action itself is beautiful. So such a person is doing qadh. He's striving. He's toiling. But what kind of qadh is it? It's a beautiful qadh. It's a beautiful struggling. And the fact of the matter is that every single person is tiring himself. Every single person. Some people sleep and sleep and sleep and tire themselves. Does sleeping a lot make you tired? And some people work and work and tire themselves. While we're living in the dunya, we are all tiring ourselves. Just ask yourself the question, where? Where are you tiring yourself? In which direction? For what? Because our deeds will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadha. O human being, indeed you're laboring towards your Lord with great exertion. Famulaqi, and we'll meet him. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ Then ask for he who's given his record in his right hand. فَأَمَّا مَنْ Then ask for whoever. أُوْتِيَ He was given. Now the word أُوْتِيَ is past tense. However, this is something to happen in the future. Why does Allah use the past tense here? To show certainty. It is so certain, it is as if it has already happened. That is how certain this is. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ Then ask for he who's given his record. Which record? The record of deeds. The record that is based on his qadh. that is based on a striving, toiling, struggling. And here this record refers to Kitab al-Abrar, the book of the righteous, the record of the righteous. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ Then as for he who's given his record in his right hand, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا He'll be judged with an easy account. The one who's given his book of deeds in his right hand, he will have an easy accountability. And what is حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا? An easy accountability. This simply means that the deeds of this person will be presented to Allah. The person's shortcomings will be shown, they'll be brought forth. However, Allah will forgive. Allah will overlook. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever is questioned during the reckoning, then he will be punished. Whoever is questioned during accountability, then he is doomed. He will be punished. Aisha radiallahu anha, she then said, but didn't Allah say in the Quran, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا that he will be judged with an easy account? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, that is not during the reckoning. Rather, it is referring to the presentation. So حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا, meaning his deeds will be presented to Allah. Allah will see his deeds, but Allah will overlook. Allah will forgive. And then he further said, whoever is questioned, meaning his question about his sins, why did you commit this sin? Why did you commit that sin? During the reckoning on the Day of Judgment, then he will be punished. So accountability is not something small. And this is the reason why the Prophet ﷺ used to make dua, Allahumma hasibni hisaba yasira. That, O Allah, grant me an easy accountability. And what is this easy accountability? The deeds are presented, the deeds are shown, the shortcomings come forth, but Allah forgives. Meaning the person is not questioned. Now just imagine your record in someone's hand. And he's looking at the record and he's about to pass the judgment. And this is why, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ The one who fears the position of his Lord. The one who fears standing before his Lord. And we also read earlier, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ So this position is so frightening, it is so scary that if Allah does not forgive, if Allah does not overlook, who will help this person? Is there anyone to help him? Is there anyone else to forgive him? To overlook from him? To save him from the predicament? If Allah does not save him? So the one who's given his record in his right hand, just imagine what is mentioned here. فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا He'll be given an easy accountability. Easy hisab. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا And he will return to his people in happiness. مَسْرُور The word مَسْرُور means delighted, happy, pleased. The word sir is from the same root. Sir means secret. Sir means secret. And surur means happiness. Now what's the relationship between both of these words? Surur refers to such happiness that is hidden in the heart. It's to feel pleasure in the heart. The heart is happy. The heart is pleased. So surur is when a person is truly happy. No one is forcing him to smile. He's not pretending to be happy, but he's actually happy. Surur. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا And he will return to his people in happiness. Now who is meant by ahl here? Ahl here refers to his family members. Or ahl refers to his friends, companions, the people around him. Because sometimes the family is not upon the deen. Now if they're upon the deen, if they're righteous, then they too would be in a good state on the Day of Judgment, and this person will return to them in happiness. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا However, if they were not upon the deen, then this person will return to who? His believing companions, believing friends. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا The lesson that we learn from this ayah is that a believer will be recompensed with happiness. He'll be recompensed with surur on the Day of Judgment. Why is this? Because he was mushfiq in the dunya. He was fearful in the dunya. In Surah At-Tur, ayah number 26, Allah says, قَالُوا, they will say, the believers will say, إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ, indeed we were previously among our people fearful. So while they were with their families, they were fearful of displeasing Allah. So because they were of the mushfiqeen in the dunya, Allah will recompense them in the hereafter with surur, happiness. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. So these are the companions of the right. Those who are given their record in their right hands, they will have an easy accountability and they will return to their people in happiness. On the other hand, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِي, but as for he who's given his record behind his back, فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا, so he will cry out for destruction, وَيَسْلَى سَعِيرًا, and enter to burn in a blaze. Here Allah mentions the companions of the left. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِي, but as for the one who's given his record, which record? Kitab al-Fujjar, the record of the wicked. But as for he who's given his record, وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِ, behind his back. Elsewhere in the Qur'an, the left hand has been mentioned. How do we understand this, the left hand and behind his back? The custom amongst the Arabs was that they would chain the right hand of the criminal around his neck and tie the left hand behind his back. This is how they dealt with the criminal. Right hand was tied around the neck and the left hand was chained behind the back. And this is the reason why here it has been said that his record will be given to him behind his back in the left hand, because he is a criminal. Okay? So the record will be given to him in his left hand, but where will the left hand be? Behind his back. Which is why here, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِي, but as for he who's given his record behind his back. And there are some scholars who say that their records will be given to them behind their backs because they threw the book of Allah in the dunya behind their backs. So because they threw the book of Allah behind their back, on the Day of Judgment, they'll be given the record behind their back. And this is the meaning of jaza'a wifaqa, an exact retribution, an exact recompense. The recompense is always like the action. So the way they dealt with the book of Allah in the dunya, neglecting it, turning away from it, disregarding it, so in the hereafter, their record of deeds will be given to them in their left hands behind their back. فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا, so what will this person do? The one who's given his record behind his back, فَسَوْفَ, so very soon, يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا, he will call out for destruction. فَسَوْفَ, fa, meaning immediately. As soon as he receives his record, upon seeing what is in the record, what will he do? He will cry out for destruction. فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا, so soon he will call out for destruction. He will invoke destruction against himself by saying, Ya Thabura. He will ask for being destroyed rather than suffering the intolerable punishment of the fire. Ya Laytani Kuntu Turaba. So this will be the wish of this person, that he is destroyed. He will call for destruction to be finished. But will he be finished? Will he be destroyed? Will he die? Can he escape the punishment? No. وَيَسْلَى سَعِيرًا, and he will enter to burn in a blaze. Earlier we read, لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ, and here, يَسْلَى سَعِيرًا. So earlier we read the word Jahim, and here the word Sa'ir. Sa'ir refers to an intense blaze, intense fire, a high flame. So because of their deeds, because of their actions, they will end up in a blaze. So basically, there are two ways of spending one's life. Number one, enjoying the delights of today and forgetting the pain of tomorrow. Thinking that this life is everything and tomorrow will not come. And secondly, to live consciously today. Enduring pain today and being fearful of tomorrow's consequences. The outcome of both is different. The outcome of carefree people is different, non-serious people, and the outcome of those who are serious is also different. And here the comparison between the two have been mentioned. The one who's given his book in the right hand, and as for the one who's given his book behind his back. One will say, "Ha umuqra'u kitabiya." So on the day of judgment, when he returns to his people in happiness, he will show them his record. "Here, come, read my record." And the other one will call out for destruction. He will call out for death. One will be masroor in the hereafter. He'll be happy in the hereafter. And as for the other one, he was masroor in the dunya. Earlier we read at the end of Surah Al-Mutaffifin, وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ. And when they return to their families, their people, انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ, they return jesting, rejoicing. And here Allah says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. إِنَّهُ, indeed he, who is this referring to? مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِ. The one who's given his record behind his back. What was his state in the dunya, in the life of this world? إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. Indeed, he had once been among his people in happiness. In the dunya, in the life of this world, they were happy, joyous, exultant, not worrying about the hereafter, not concerned with the end result, not thinking about it. But today, they will be in misery. So their temporary joy will be followed by a lengthy grief, a permanent grief. Whereas the believer was in hardship in the dunya, in the life of this world. And today he will be in happiness, masrura. Is there a difference? Completely opposite outcomes. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. Indeed, he had once been among his people in happiness. إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَّن يَحُورَ. Indeed, he had thought he would never return to Allah. What did he think? That he would never return to Allah. What did we read earlier? Every single person has to go back to Allah. فَمُلَاقِيهِ. But this one thought that he would never return. He thought that Allah would never resurrect him. Allah would never give him life after death. إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَلَّا يَحُورَ. Now the word يَحُور means to go around and return to the original point. To go around and return to the central point. تَحَاوُر means a conversation. تَحَاوُر, conversation. Then there's also a dua of the Prophet ﷺ in Sahih Muslim, in which he said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hawri ba'd al-kawr. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from hawr after kawr. Now what is kawr and what is hawr? Kawr is from kawr. Remember takwir? Idha shamsu kuwirat? When the sun is wrapped up. So kawr is to wrap the turban. Gawr is to wrap up the turban. And hawar is to undo it. So I seek refuge in you from hawr after gawr. So what does this refer to then? What is hawar? To relinquish the ties with the ummah after having been one of them. So in other words, this dua is a dua of istiqamah. It is a dua of steadfastness. That, oh Allah, keep me upon the deen. Keep me steadfast upon the religion. I seek refuge in you from undoing this guidance that has come to me after it has come to me. Okay? So from this you can understand the meaning of the word yahur. إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَلَّا يَحُورَ. He used to believe that he would not return to Allah, nor would Allah bring him back to life after he has died. What this ayah tells us is that the absence of belief in resurrection or doubting the resurrection is the pusher towards every evil, and it is the waster of every good. So the one who does not believe in accountability, the one who doubts in the coming of the Day of Judgment, then he commits all kinds of sins, and at the same time he wastes every opportunity to do good. On the other hand, Belief in the last day is one that takes a person to every good, and it is the preventer of every evil. And this is the reason why, right at the beginning of the Quran, Allah says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That is a book about which there is no doubt. This Quran, there's no doubt about it. It is a guidance for who? For those who have taqwa. The God-conscious people. And who are they? Who are the muttaqeen? وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And in the hereafter, they believe with certainty. They have belief in the coming of the Day of Judgment. They have belief in the hereafter. So this belief makes them do what they're supposed to do in the life of this world and to stay away from what they're supposed to stay away from. And this is taqwa. This is the fear of Allah. So belief in the hereafter, worrying about the outcome, keeps a person upright, keeps a person straight. And as for the one who's not concerned, the one who does not believe in accountability, then he does not work for it either. He's not working for that day. And then instead he does whatever he wishes to do. So, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَنْ لَنْ يَحُورَ. Indeed, he had once been among his people in happiness. Indeed, he had thought he would never return to Allah. بَلَى. But yes, why not? He will definitely return to Allah. He will definitely be resurrected. Allah will give him life after he dies. إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. Indeed, his Lord was ever of him seeing. Allah is ever seer of him in all of his circumstances. And Allah knows that he will return. And nothing of his deeds is hidden from Allah. Allah knows about everything. Now what does this ayah tell us? Allah tells us here that he is watching his servants. He's observing their actions. إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. Allah observing the human being shows that the human being will also be brought to account for his deeds. Because it is contrary to Allah's wisdom, justice and sovereignty that he knows about the human being, he knows about his deeds, but then he leaves him neglected. That's not possible. Yes, Allah temporarily gives respite to a person, gives them time so that they may repent. But if a person continues to do what they're doing, this does not mean that Allah will leave them altogether. Because Allah is watching the servant, and Allah knows what he's doing. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَن يُتْرَكَ سُدَى. Does man think that he will be left neglected? No. Because this would then be contrary to Allah's wisdom, justice and sovereignty. Allah is مالك يوم الدين. So how can he leave a person? Just think about this point. Allah created man. He sent messengers. He revealed books. He appointed angels to record his deeds. And if even then the person does not believe, then on the Day of Judgment he'll be let go. That you are free, go. Would that happen? And then Allah himself is watching. And he knows about the deeds of man. All of this, why? Why did Allah send messengers? Why did Allah reveal books? Why did he appoint angels to record his deeds? And then why is Allah himself watching if there was to be no follow-up? If there was to be no reward or punishment? Do you understand this ayah now in this context? إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَّن يَحُورَ. Indeed, he had thought he would never return to Allah. بَلَى. But yes, indeed, he will definitely return. إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. And indeed, his Lord was ever of him seeing. This is a very powerful ayah if you think about it. Allah observing and watching and seeing his servants means that the servant will be held accountable for his actions. Now if we look at all of these ayats, there are two types of people that come forth. Two types of people. Number one, the abrar. The abrar whose outcome is good. Happiness. They will have happiness in the hereafter. And the other are fujjar, who will call out for destruction upon seeing their record. When they see their outcome, they will call out for destruction. But he will not be saved from the punishment. Then Allah mentions their crime. What was their crime? What was their fault? What was their problem? The first point that is mentioned here, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. Indeed, he was among his people مَسْرُورًا. Now what does this mean? This means that they were exultant, they were joyous among their families, they had a non-serious attitude, a carefree attitude. They did not think about the Akhirah. You see, the word masrura has been used twice in these ayat. Once for the believers in the hereafter, and once for the people who are given their books in their left hand, their state in the dunya. Okay? In the dunya, they were masrur among their people. Now if we ponder over these ayat, if today you're not receiving happiness from your family, لا تحزن, do not grieve, do not be sad. Inshallah, you will get this happiness tomorrow, if the reason is the deen. Because what happens is that when you're on the deen, when you make your focus and goal working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're doing one thing, and you want the same for your family as well. You want to share the same things with them. But if the family is not supportive, what is their reaction? They become upset. They feel disturbed. Then what has happened to you? What is this all the time you're talking about this Akhirah? People are going in one direction and you're going in another direction. You've lost it. Come back to your senses. All this talk grieves the believer. It saddens the believer. And sometimes the believer thinks to himself, you know what? Let me just listen to them. After all, I have to live with them. There's so much confrontation. So for the sake of peace, let me give in. Let me do what they're doing. Be happy for what they're happy. Be pleased with what they're pleased with. Okay, fine, you do this. Now your life is easy. You are masroor in the dunya. You're happy, they're happy. All of us are now one. She was going through a phase, but now she's fine. She had almost lost it, but she's come back to her senses. And if not this, then taunts for the rest of the life, unless they too begin to understand the deen. And if your family is supportive, then people around have an issue. And if the people around are a bit supportive, then people from different corners of the world, they begin to have an issue. They rush to you. You know, this Quran that you're reading, what does it promote? They will start asking you about violence and Islam. All this is the gadh that the believer has to face. The hardship, the difficulty, the struggle that he has to face in the dunya. Some people's tests are small and some people's tests are great. Some people are tested from those who are closest to them and some people are tested from those who are far. The fact of the matter is that when you draw closer to Allah, the tests are greater. But then it's up to you. It's up to you to decide, do you want to be masroor in the dunya while compromising the religion? Or do you want to be masroor in the hereafter? There's only one option. What do you want? And who will return masroor in the hereafter? Those who were fearful in the dunya. Surah At-Tur, ayah number 26 and 27. قالوا إنا كنا قبل في أهلنا مشفقين فمن الله علينا وبقانا عذاب السموم. They will say, indeed we were previously among our people fearful of displeasing Allah, so Allah conferred favor upon us and He protected us from the punishment of the scorching fire. So they were fearful, and thus as a result in the hereafter Allah will give them surur, they will have happiness, Allah will save them from the fire. So on one side we have the companions of the right, who were fearful in the dunya. They were conscious. They were of the muttaqeen. They were of the abrar. And so Allah will recompense them with complete happiness in the hereafter. A life of bliss and comfort and ease from every aspect. On the other hand, the one who's given his record behind his back on the Day of Judgment, Allah tells us about him that in the dunya he was masroor among his people. He had a non-serious attitude, a carefree attitude. And why was this? Because of his thought process as well. He thought that he would never return to Allah. So the second crime that is mentioned here, إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَّن يَحُورَ. He thought that he would never return. So because his belief was corrupt, as a result, his actions were also corrupt. He did not believe in resurrection and accountability. As a result, accordingly were his actions. To which Allah says, Bala, but yes, why not? Inna rabbahu kana bihi basira. Indeed, his Lord was ever of him seeing. Allah was observing all that he was doing. We will listen to the recitation up until here.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Idha as-samaa'u shaqqat wa adhinat li rabbiha wa huqqat wa idha al-ardu muddat wa alqat ma fiha wa takhallat wa adhinat li rabbiha wa huqqat. يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا وينقلب إلى أهله مسرورا وأما من أوتي كتابه وراء ظهره فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا إنه كان في أهله مسرورا إنه ظن أن لن يحور بلى إن ربه كان به بصيراً.